Our scripture reading this evening is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, the first 21 verses. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. But by the grace of God that was with me. When then was I or they? This is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. I often think I'd have got on with St. Paul.
He's a man who doesn't mix his words, does he? He's also a man who once preached for so long that someone fell asleep. Unfortunately, that person was sitting in the windowsill of an upstairs room. And as they fell asleep, they fell out of the window and died. At which point, Paul went outside, prayed the person would be resuscitated. When they were, he got up and he went back inside preaching.
I'm reminded of that. Thank you. Now I have a microphone. I'm reminded of that story because, excellently read, Anne, the idea that some of the people have fallen asleep. Of course, it is worth noting that in this passage, when Paul talks about falling asleep, he's talking, of course, about dying. and some of what the things did. And I chose this passage to speak on this evening because I wanted to talk about the difference that the resurrection makes in our lives. And I love the way that Paul is so honest. Because we sometimes think, I think, that actually that unbelief and questions are a very 21st century way of looking at matters of faith. But we only have to go to the resurrection accounts in the Bible to hear what the first witnesses, the women who went to the temple, the disciples who heard their babbling confessions, to know that actually unbelief was something that was there in the early church. It was there. The reason that they believed wasn't because they were naive. It wasn't because they believed any story that they were told. They believed because the evidence was there in front of them. They believed because they saw the risen Christ. They believed because the difference of the power of the resurrection made in their lives and in the lives of other people. And I think it's important for us at Easter time to just take a look and remember what the resurrection means to our lives. The difference and the transformation it can make. And that's, look at that difference in the hope that it would change us for the rest of the year, for the years to come. There's no good about thinking about it just one Sunday a year. That's the reason that Christians have gathered on Sunday, on the first day of the week, for 2,000 years. Because the resurrection changed the world. And it is still changing the world today. But more than that, it can change each one of us too. And it can change the world around us through us. I suppose if I was going to speak like Paul this evening, I'd ask why we come together on a Sunday evening if we don't believe in the resurrection. It's a lovely Sunday evening. I don't mean, you can get up and walk out if you want, but wouldn't it be nice to be walking down by the river or sitting having a barbecue with our families? Hopefully many of us have done that today. And do we not ask ourselves, why do we come? We come because God transforms us. Because God changes us. We come because his power and his presence is here. We come because he is worthy of our praises. We come to seek him. We come to give thanks to him. We come because he was raised from the dead. And Paul says that in verse 3, that this is of first importance. I don't know what you believe about climate change. I don't know what you believe about Brexit. I don't know what you believe about infant baptism. I don't know what you believe about where the vicars should wear trainers and jeans at the front of church. I have a feeling I'll find out in an email in the morning if any of you dislike it. But one of the things that is of first importance is what we believe about the resurrection. Because Paul says it changes three things in this passage. First of all, he tells us that the resurrection means that Jesus is who he said he is. And even more than that, he's who the Bible, the scriptures, the Old Testament has been saying he would be. He has fulfilled the scriptures. It wasn't normal in first century Palestine for people to die and then rise again on the third day. It was unusual then, just as much as it's unusual now. It was as unbelievable, literally unbelievable, then as it is now. But God had been laying the way. He'd been telling his people that it would happen. And Jesus had been unpacking these scriptures with his disciples throughout his teaching and his life. And he'd been pointing them gently towards what was going to happen. And every time he pointed them with a slightly stronger and clearer message, they would just either be confused or they would argue with him. Never, Lord. It's not going to happen. Yes, it is. Even after he'd risen, even after he died, even after all the things that he said would happen had happened, he met with his disciples and they were still confused, and he had to teach them. Paul talks in this passage, doesn't he? He met with Cephas, that's Peter. He met with James. He met with over 500 of the believers. And he talked them through the scriptures like he did on the road to Emmaus, explaining to them what had happened and why it had happened. We believe in the resurrection because it shows that Jesus is who he said he is. And he is who God said he would be. In the Bible. Secondly, we believe in the resurrection because it means that sin and death are defeated. You see, the Bible is one big story chopped up into lots of little ones. And in the beginning of the story, God made the world and it was good. And then because of our pride and because of our selfishness, we turned away from God. We chose our own way. And that brought sadness and sickness and death into the world. It meant that there was a separation between God, who was holy, and us, who had turned away from him. And God had a plan to make this, to bridge this gap. And that plan was the cross of Christ. Somebody had to pay the price for the disobedience, for the pain, for the suffering, for the hurt of the whole world. And God chose to pay the price himself. But had it just ended on Good Friday, then sin wouldn't have been defeated. Sin would have won. Death wouldn't have lost its sting. Death would be the end if it finished on Good Friday. The resurrection means that the old order of things, where sin can entangle us and enslave us, where sin can have power over us and control us, is no longer the way that things have to be. Because Jesus defeated sin. He passed through to the other side, that all who believe in him might have life and live it to the full. So the resurrection means that Jesus is who he said he is. It means that he defeated sin and death. And that those who believe in him can have a life with him for eternity. And finally, the resurrection means that we can be transformed. I love what Paul says about himself. Let me read it to you. For I am the least of the apostles. I sometimes wonder about that, because the guy traveled all across basically the known world, telling people about Jesus, Nobody planted more churches. Nobody told more people the good news than he did. But he says, I'm the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. And this is why. Because I persecuted the church of God. Paul knows who he was before he met Jesus. Paul knows who he is without Jesus. And then he goes on to say this. But by the grace of God, because of everything that God had done for him, nothing that he'd done himself, everything that God had done for him, because of the grace of God, I am what I am. It's transformed. The love of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the resurrection of Jesus has transformed this angry, bitter, confused man who persecuted the church of God into an apostle. That's why Paul holds that title so delicately, so humbly, so reverently, because he knows he is only an apostle because of the resurrection of Jesus. He's only an apostle because of the grace and the love of God. The resurrection has the power to transform each of us. Because sin has lost its hold on us. And death has lost its sting. I wonder why you came here this evening. I wonder what brought you here or who brought you here. But I want you to know that the thing which is most important is to know that we know in history that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we can know that today in our own lives. We can trust the scriptures because of it. We can know that our sin is defeated and that we have life in him. And we know that he can transform us today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. Amen.